Welcome to Sand Pebbles. The purpose of this series is to make philosophy accessible and understandable to the working public. From empiricism, we go to the opposite end of the spectrum, pure idealism or rationalism. This philosophy argues that truth only exists in the consciousness, in the form of either innate ideas, created ideas, or discovered ideas. Whatever reality is that exists out there independent of our consciousness, we cannot know it as a permanent physical substance that exists independently of us, because we only know it when we perceive it. We don't know, and we cannot argue about what it's like when we're not perceiving it. Consciousness, on the other hand, is something that we're absolutely certain about. There's nothing we can be more certain about other than the fact that we are conscious and the ideas that make up our consciousness. Our consciousness is as much a part of reality as any reality that is out there that we perceive sometimes. If there's truth in our consciousness, it doesn't contradict any of our perceptions, then that is the source of truth. As I discussed in prior episodes, in order for idealism to maintain logical soundness and consistency, there also has to argue for the existence of some other consciousness out there that keeps the reality going where we're not perceiving it, and that is the source of these absolute truths, in order to avoid solipsism, the belief that there's only one reality, and that's our own individual consciousness, which makes no sense, because if we are the only individual conscious and the source of reality, why are we having this dispute as to what consciousness is and what truth is? For philosophers such as George Berkeley, who was religious, this other entity was God. It was this deity who perceived reality. When we're not perceived, it kept it going, and it was the source of the absolute truths and consciousness. But for the non-religious, for great minds varying from Plato to Roger Penrose, a modern-day physicist, and according to a recent book I read, 75% of all mathematicians, these individuals believe in a Platonic reality, a reality in which mathematics exists independently, and that the consciousness discovers this independent reality of mathematical forms and mathematical beauty as it's thinking about its perceptions and trying to solve problems in these perceptions. To the working man trying to survive in life, dealing with physical problems on a regular basis, this view that somehow ideas and consciousness are more real than the physical world with which we struggle seems a bit far-fetched. Well, you need to get over that. The purpose of these episodes is to introduce you to the philosophies that have developed and created modern culture. And the undisputed fact is that our modern world is a world of mathematical algorithms, mathematical equations, and numbers, and will continue to be so, and probably more so, for the foreseeable future. The powers that be of this new and developing world ridicule and treat as irrational the common man's source of hope and a belief in Christian or non-Christian mysticism. However, at the same time, these powers believe in entities that are just as riddled with contradiction and seem to be just as mystical. In terms of pure reason or pure intuition, believing in a deity that is made up of three persons is no more mystical than believing in a physical entity that is both particle and wave, and that really is just a collection of mathematical probabilities that can be in an infinite amount of possible places at the same time. The difference between the two is, at least in the present moment, the belief in those mathematical entities gives one great power, including the greatest power history has known, the creation and control of the hydrogen bomb. However, being a source of power and being a source of truth are two different things, as any working man knows on a regular, daily, if not hourly basis. But you have to give the devil his due. Just saying that it's ridiculous and far-fetched to believe that a computer's calculation of mathematical truths is the same as the human mind's search for truth does not make it so. If you oppose the idea of a dominant philosophy and culture that equates the two, the human mind and a computer, first you have to understand their argument and why they're making it, and then you have to come up with an opposing philosophy. Not only an opposing philosophy that proves them wrong, but one that creates just as much power, if not more so. Scientific theories have come and gone through history, and they're all just as powerful in their day and just as certain of their definition of scientific truth, only to be replaced by a modern scientific theory, which has just as many problems, actually more so, given their inherent contradictions that they not only ignore, but irrationally believe is true, to the point of arguing that it is the principle of contradiction that must be rejected, not their scientific theory. What new future theories will replace the present theories is anyone's guess, and whether they will be good or bad is also unknown. This ends our discussion of the two ends of the spectrum of philosophical and scientific truth. There are many philosophies in between that try to use aspects of both to try to reach a solution of truth that all failed, but are still worth studying if you have the time or resources, because they're all good practice and critical thinking about the subject matter of truth. One of those philosophies, the pragmatic theory of truth, is something that we'll get into in the next couple of episodes as I try to summarize 20th century contributions to the subject matter of truth. The pragmatic theory of truth is very important because it answers a lot of these problems that we've discussed and that are also an additional problems that are raised by the philosophy of language developed in the 20th century and by mathematical concepts of truth. The pragmatic theory, I think, is something that would be very familiar, if not intuitive, to anyone who works for a living.